Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. And it says, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Hallelujah. Man, that should get you excited right there. Like, we can go home right now with that, just those two passages of Scripture right there. That's good. You know? "And all these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and they'll drink anything deadly and by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Now, here's the cool thing. The devil has already been defeated, but we have to enforce our victory by using the name of Jesus. You see, the devil was defeated over 2,000 years ago when Jesus kicked his butt when he was on the cross. That day on Calvary and what took place over that weekend, Satan got the biggest whipping of his lifetime. Amen? And because of what took place then, Satan was defeated. Now, Satan got he still thinks that he can do stuff. But you see, we have to remind him that he is defeated. And like I said, we have to enforce what took place by using that powerful name. Are you listening to me tonight?
Yes, sir.
You see, we have all these things available to us. The authority of the believer is something that is fantastic. And those of you that are in Bible school, you know we had a full class on it. And those of you who are going to be in Bible school this year, you're going to have another full class on it. And you're going to see what's in the authority of the believer. And so for the sake of time, we're only taking the next 12 hours to go through this. No, we can only barely scratch the surface because there's so much involved in this. This is such a big topic when we're talking about the name of Jesus because there's so many different bunny trails and different avenues that we can go down and look at. It's just huge. But the authority of the believer in the name of Jesus goes side by side. Are you following me this evening? All right, good. Very good. As believers, we have been given access to this amazing thing, the authority and the power, which is in the name of Jesus. And guess what? The Lord expects us to use it. As believers, we are given complete all access to go and use that name, that powerful name. No matter what the situation is, no matter what garbage we're dealing with, no matter what life is throwing at you, come on now, if you're a believer and you have a relationship with the Father, okay, this is a key word here now, relationship with the Father. And I mean you have to know Him, not heard about Him. Because a lot of people think, well, all this applies to me because I've heard about Jesus. No, you're cutting yourself short of the benefits. You have to know who He is. You have to have that relationship with Him. And once we know, well, we have all access to this authority. And we can use the name of Jesus. And no matter what situation, no matter what area, no matter what's happening around us, we can use that. Amen.
Amen.
In the book of Matthew 28:18, Jesus says that all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Now, what did Jesus do with all that power, everything that was given to Him? Well, He delegated it to us. Wow. Think about that. God gave Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. God gave it all to Him. And then what did Jesus do? He turned around and gave it to us. We are equal shareholders with Jesus. We have that power. So now some of these scripture verses are starting to make sense. Where greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That makes a lot of sense now. Because I'm connected to Jesus. And if Jesus has all that power, and I'm a part of that body of Christ, you can't separate the head and the body. It just can't work. Well, come on now, that power belongs to me. How many believers we got in this place? We're up to 8 people excited. All right, we're getting there. We got 8 people excited. But those of you that raised your hand and those of you that are believers, Well, you have that power. It belongs to you. There's a word that they use for this word, for this power, dunamis, which is the root Greek word for dynamite. And we call it devil blasting power. You ever see a stick of dynamite go off? Boom! I know in my younger days, and I've still been known to do some silly things, but you know, you purposely make things go boom sometimes. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Exactly, right? I got my good buddy Chris back there, and we like to make things go boom every now and then, don't we, buddy? And so we got things that go boom. And you think about the power that's behind, you know, in a little bit of, you know, gunpowder or something of the sort, or, you know, even fireworks. Fireworks can be fun, you know, different things like that. I know Pastor Ken, he loves those little firecrackers that you get out of the States. He's a bit of a pyromaniac as well, you know. And he has a lot of fun with those, you know. And so you can have these little things, but I'm talking about this double blast and power. I'm talking about we have this power that's in the name of Jesus that was delegated to us, that belongs to us, that no matter what situation is coming after us, we can kaboom it out of our lives. Are you with me tonight? All right, that's good. That's good. Well, where am I? Mark, let's look at Mark chapter 16 again. Now he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And all these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And they will drink anything deadly and it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, we have been given that great power. And then to have access to that is through the name of Jesus. Now let's think about that for a second. It says that we'll lay hands on the sick and they might recover. What does the scripture say? They will recover. They shall recover. That's an absolute. That's not a maybe. Sometimes we get the absolutes and the maybes mixed up. But see, when it comes to the Word of God, when it says something like that, God is not well if, and, or but. It's definitely. Now you see, we got a job to do with this. Our lives has to be a reflection of what Jesus did for us. Now we're getting into this whole righteousness versus holiness conversation. Still dealing with the name of Jesus here. But you see, once we became born again, we were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Because our own righteousness, as Scripture says, is as dirty rags. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are or how nice you are, but if you don't have that relationship and don't have the God kind of life, come on now, and you don't have that righteousness that belongs to God, you don't have that relationship, well, it's all worthless. But now what God did in your life, the change that he made, the things that he done for you, the way that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for me and you. You see, now we have a job to do. This is where the whole holiness kicks in here. It's not like we're going around like a bunch of monks. You know. Because to be as holy and pure as some people think, it's impossible. Is anybody in there perfect? Uh-oh. Is anyone in there perfect? Anybody? If you put your hand up, we're going to have an altar call later. We'll lay hands. We'll pray. We'll anoint you with oil. Maybe a 5-gallon bucket full. No, there's no one perfect, you know? You can come pretty close to it, but I'm just saying not everyone is perfect. Settle down. But you see, the beauty of it is that we can strive for that. We can strive to be what God wants us to be, what we've been designed to be. And so because we are living a life, this is all part of growing up spiritually, ladies and gentlemen, because a baby doesn't stay a baby forever. As much it would be a lot easier to have Timothy as a little guy that he's not mobile, now he is 2.5, almost 3 years old, and he has legs, and he can run faster than what mommy and daddy can. Okay? And he knows it too. And if he gets it in his mind that he's going to run, well, you ever watched the Roadrunner and Coyote cartoons? Yeah, that's what happens at our house. And Timmy is the Roadrunner. And he even can make that meep meep sound when he's running. I'm serious. And I'm pretty sure there's smoke coming from his feet when he's running, because his two little legs are going about 100 miles an hour, man. It's crazy, this little guy. But you see, he's growing up. You know, I got Timmy, I'm 2 years old. I got Abigail, she's 6. And we got Ben, and he's 8. You know, and just they're all at different stages. They're all growing. They're all developing. You know, they're all on their journey. They're going to get older and older and older, and I'm going to stay the same. I'll never change age anymore. I'm done with birthdays. Hallelujah. And so I'm still 21. Praise God. And so, you know, the kids will get older, and we'll watch them develop. We'll watch them grow and become, into, you know, young men, young women. And then they'll get older. I'll still stay young. But see, there's a progression that takes place. You see, and the same thing happens in our spiritual lives. You see, once we become born again, we're not perfect now, are we? But the beauty of it is that every spiritual blessing belongs to us, even though we're not perfect. You see, even though we're still going to screw up and mess up, God still loves us, and he's going to bless us, and he's going to give us exactly what we need when we need it. Are you listening to me tonight? Because even though we might be a little bit ignorant sometimes and not realize what we're doing, but then we got to learn from our mistakes that when we mess up and when we make a mistake, we don't stay there. You see, we learn, we grow. Amen? Amen. Well, I remember when Benjamin was a little boy, he dabbed his hand on the hot stove element. Well, to this very day, he's never done it since. Because he learned that that's hot. Amen? Now, if you're an older person, have you done that? I'll pray for you. Okay. But, you know, you never do it, you know. You might do it by accident, but you never go up and slap it. Well, it's red. What is this, man? You know, you're not going to do that. We have been given that great power. And like I said, that access is through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when should we use the name of Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I was just itching to answer it. There's many opportunities that we get to use the name of Jesus. One major opportunity that we get to use the name of Jesus is when sickness is knocking on our door. Because sickness doesn't belong coming in over our threshold. Sickness doesn't belong in on us. It doesn't belong to us. Scripture says, by his stripes we were healed. It's already done, past tense. Hallelujah. So, okay. Let's see here. Let's look at our scripture verse that we've been reading. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. See, in this passage of scripture, it doesn't say that they might recover, but it is an absolute in there, and it says that they will recover. You see, that when you're together, when you're connected up with the Father, you see, you have that right. So Satan can't mess with you. He's going to try, and it's up to you if you allow him to. Are you listening to me? See, a lot of times we blame God and we blame devil for things that we're guilty of doing ourselves. That's an interesting thought. You know, oh, I'm mad at you, God. I'm sick. I got this. I got this. And you know what? I'm not belittling. If you're going through that, you know what? I know exactly what that feels like. Because there was a time in my life when I was questioning God about a lot of things too. And I was actually mad at God for a little while. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? You ever been mad at God for whatever reason? And then come to realize you hear it from somebody that it's not God's fault, but your own dumb doing? Amen? Come on now. You see, a lot of times we blame God for stuff that he's got nothing to do with. Sometimes we blame the devil for stuff that he's got nothing to do with. Come on now. But you see, we were given a free will to do things. We get to choose right or wrong. We get to choose if we're going to go up and slap somebody today or not. You know? Amen? Sometimes you want to slap somebody. I'm sure guys in Teen Challenge sometimes you want to slap somebody, you know? Amen? I know, but slap and lay hands on them forcefully. Amen? Come here, brother. I pray for you. Amen? Yeah. So Sometimes pastors want to lay hands on each other forcefully. Amen? No. Oh, that was good. That was wet. Anyone else thirsty? I'll have another drink for you if you're thirsty. Okay, sorry. Is that better? Okay, good. All right. So when should we use the name of Jesus? Like I said, when sickness is present. Now, Philippians 2, 9 and 11. It says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, let me show you something here cool, all right? It says right there in verse 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Now, just look up at verse 9 for a second. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Now, every sickness and disease has a name. Cancer has a name. The flu has a name. Even the man flu has a name. Okay? Diabetes has a name. Heart disease has a name. All those things has names. But guess what? Jesus' name is greater than those. Are you listening to me? Deafness has a name. Blindness has a name. Stomach issue has a name. Come on now. But Jesus' name is greater than that. Woo! You need a kick out there. That's exciting. Man. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Now, I was thinking about that one time when I was learning and growing and still learning and growing, but when I was way, way back a little further, I read this. I'm like, oh, that must just mean that, you know, he's higher named than like a mayor or a president or a prime minister or something. But he's just not talking to people here. You see, he's talking about whatever's name, whatever comes against us. And last time I checked, whatever comes against us, it all has a name. Depression has a name. Anxiety has a name. Sickness, disease has a name. But Jesus Christ's name is greater than those names. Amen. That's good. Good job, Steve. Yeah, you're welcome. Good job. Yeah. All right. So what does this mean for me and you, my friend? Well, it means that sickness has no right to be messing with us. It can try, but it's not supposed to be there. And this is something that we have to make alive in our hearts. Something that we have to make alive in our spirits. Something that we have to get a grasp on and an understanding of and know. And know that we know that it doesn't belong to me and you. Because there are far too many people sick in the church today when it does not belong to them. Sometimes you can have ailments. Sometimes you can have, you know, symptoms. Guilty. But we don't go around saying, oh, I'm dying. Shut up, it's only a man cold. What's wrong with you? That's what my wife does. Get out of bed, you got work to do. No. You act in faith. You act in faith. And sometimes that's not always the easiest thing to do. But faith without action is dead. So you got to do something. It's one thing to believe it and say it, but you also have to do it. You got to do it. Now, there's times in my life when I definitely don't feel like doing anything. Not going to lie. There's times when you just want to sit back and turn on Netflix, you know, lie in bed, and feel miserable. Am I right? Anybody else feel like that? Come on, I'm not the only one. Raise your hands if you've ever felt that way. Yeah. You got your favorite Netflix series that you're watching, and you just want to binge watch it. You don't want to do nothing. You want to feel bad, and yet, you know, you got all these things you got to do. You got to adult. You know what I'm talking about? You got things you got to do. You got to be an adult. But yet you just want to feel sick and miserable. Maybe get a free day pass or whatever. You know? When we were kids, we'd call it schoolitis. You know? I got schoolitis. You know? No. You see, even though we don't feel like it sometimes, this is what a faith step is all about. Sometimes it means stepping out, even though you're not sure what's there. I really like what Pastor Dave was talking about. He's like, you know what? The law of gravity, it's always there. You step out of a house and there's no stairs or nothing, you're going to fall. Right? And so, you know, and as much as we, you know, it's up to you, like Pastor Dave said, if you want to believe in gravity or not. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, the force of gravity will always be there. Because if you're going to jump out of an airplane without a parachute, you're going to find out real quick that there is gravity. And then you're going to find out real quick that there is a God, too. Just saying. You know, you're going to do one of those, like, you know, that's what's going to happen. It just might be a little plop, you know, more like a bug on a windshield. Just wipe it off with the wiper. Are you having fun? Okay, good. Sickness does not belong to us. So like I was talking about, that law of gravity, that it's always there. Well, faith is real. Even though you can't always see it, sometimes you always can't see what you're believing for. You can't always see and believe that gravity is there for whatever reason. You know, you can't always see gravity. Can you see oxygen? Do you know it's there? Because you can breathe it in. You know? Some places in the world is very not nice. You know? Some places is very poisonous. It's probably not good to breathe oxygen over there in some of those places. But, you know, thank God for Northwest Ontario, where we got more trees than people. Amen? And so we got a lot of air scrubbers up here. Amen? We got some fresh air up here. Hallelujah. And you know what? We can believe in our air. We know it's there. We can feel it. Fill up our lungs. Hallelujah. We can breathe in nice and deep. Amen? We should bottle this stuff up and ship it over to Asia somewhere and sell it. We'd make millions. I'm telling you, fresh northern Ontario air. Amen? But you see, you can't see it, but you know the benefits of it. And it's like faith. You can't always see it, what you're believing for. But faith, when you put actions to it, oxygen is there. You start breathing it in, well, then there's a benefit there. You're going to live. You're not going to pass out. Faith, the same thing. You do something, you act on it, you're going to get what you need. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? I said there's power in the name of Jesus. All right, so when's another time that we get to use the name of Jesus? Well, the name of Jesus can be used to destroy lack. Now, what are you talking about, lack? Well, I'm just not talking necessarily about finances, but if you're needing something in your life, love, joy, peace, relationships, whatever it may be. Might even be finances, but lack. Okay? If you need something in your life, if you're missing something in your life, if you're lacking something in your life, the name of Jesus will actually help you out with that. Are you listening? Because there's other reasons why you're lacking something. There's hindrances there in the way. A lot of the time, it's the devil trying to get his hands on your stuff, trying to hinder you and buffet you. Come on. You see, Christians, believers, we are not supposed to be broke, disgusted, sad, depressed, all those things. Because we belong to God. We are King's kids. Hallelujah. And last time I checked, royalty is not broke. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Royalty don't live like paupers. Are you listening? You see, my source is not necessarily the church. Though it's nice to get a paycheck every 2 weeks, isn't it, Pastor Ken? It's nice. But my source is not from Kendra working outside or me doing other things outside. Our source is from God. And you see, when you put your faith and trust in Him, well, He's going to bless you. Isn't that good? And see, when you're faithful to Him, you see, once again, Pastor Davey nailed it with the whole talking about the finances and giving, the offering, tithes and offering. Because you have to sow before you can reap. You have to do something. Once again, there's an action before there's a reaction. Amen? Now, it's brings me to a little fun part of my message. Anybody in this place like golf? A couple guys. Anybody like golf? I got a few nods. Anybody like golf? Let's raise your hands. Get excited about golf up in this place. You know? Okay, I played golf once. It was the most miserable 5 hours of my life. After the second hole, I was done. I got this beautiful set of golf clubs. Not joking. Beautiful set of clubs. Absolutely beautiful. You know why they're beautiful? Because I don't use them. Amen? And so I went golfing with this guy, and I showed up. I had these fancy golf clubs, and he looked at me. He's like, "Do you play a lot of golf?" "No." He said, "Oh, man, you got really nice clubs." I said, "Yeah." "Do you use them?" "No, I don't use them." He's like, "Okay, well, let's go see." He's like, "Let's go to the driving range." So I went to the driving range. You ever watch that movie Happy Gilmore? Got to the point to where I almost lost my salvation over a stupid golf ball. When my friend that I was golfing with looks at me, he's like, "Okay, I think it's time for us to go now. It's time for us to go tee off." It wasn't the fact that it was time to tee off. It was the fact that he didn't want me to make any more of a spectacle of myself in front of all those people. So anyway, we went golfing. And like I said, after 5 hours walking 18 holes with this beautiful set of clubs on my back, and we were playing best ball. You know how many golf balls I lost that day? Not one of mine that I hit was a best ball. They were mostly lost balls. I got well acquainted with the bush around Emerald Greens. Mm-hmm. This very day, they call me the Sasquatch. That was my first and last time out there. See, for me, I bring golfing to a whole new level. It's not called golfing. It's called golfer. I'm not a golfer. I'm a gopher. Digging holes. But anyway, sorry, a sidetrack. Once again, who here likes golfing? Okay, a couple guys over there. Well, you see, when you're sowing and when you're giving, you know, you sow sometimes and you give sometimes. And not necessarily to get something back, but just because you want to give it to somebody. Just because. Well, how many of you know that there's this PGA thing happening here in town right now? And the Stahl Foundation Open is happening at Whitewater Golf Club. And so I have some passes. I know, right? I get them every year, and as much as I love golf, I just as soon go start a fire with them. Because there's one thing that I like more than golf, and that's watching paint dry. Or grass grow. Okay? If you like golf and you're an avid golfer, I'm sorry. I truly am sorry that you like golf that much. So, Sindon, you said you like golf? Well, here, you and somebody can go this week. There's a daily pastor for two people there. All right? Just sewing that in you just because. And Miss Deb, are you back to work yet?
No.
Okay, good. Here, go take the rest of the time off and go take somebody out to the golf. Because I know you like golfing. Amen. Now, you see, what does that got to do with the name of Jesus? Well, when we're talking about giving, when we're talking about lack, you know, sometimes we need to do something, to do some action to make things come back to us. Amen? Now, I believe in God for some stuff. The churches believe in God for some stuff. So we can sow seed every now and then. And it can be a different way how to do it. And sometimes it's just nice to bless people. You see, when you do that, it's kind of like building yourself up a little bit. And then you're building someone else's faith up a little bit too. So then how did it make you feel to get something like that? Pretty good, eh? Miss Deb, how do you feel about that? It's awesome. You know? Me? It's golf. You know? But, you see, to somebody else, that's a blessing. You know what I mean? And so it's cool to see what God can do. And that will increase somebody. When you bless somebody, when you help somebody out, you're actually helping them spiritually as well. You see, a lot of times we don't think that way. We don't think that we should be blessing somebody. We don't be thinking that, you know, we should be building other people up like that. But you see, this is all part of our spiritual growth ourselves, because the more we give, the better it is for us, because we're being built up. The Lord is seeing these things, and he's like, man, that's awesome. People are receiving it, and you're meeting their needs, and they're getting blessed. Amen? And you're changing their little community around them. Hallelujah. You see what's happening here? It's a snowball effect. Hallelujah. Amen? That's good. See, now lack needs to go in our lives. We don't need to allow lack to come in. So if you're feeling down and sad, or if you feel like you don't have enough relationships in your or positive influences, or, you know, you just feel like there's things missing in your life, well, then you will need to apply the name of Jesus to those situations. You need to talk to that situation. Well, Father God, you see my bank account. There's not much to see, but you see it. Well, Father God, I speak to that right now. You know I'm working hard and I'm doing what I need to do. So I speak to that bank account and I thank you for increase in my life right now. And Father God, you see I got some relationship problems. Father God, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of friends, but I thank you right now that my personality is changing or whatever needs to be done, Lord. I pray for increase in my friends, Lord. You know, I get more followers on Instagram or something. I don't know, whatever it is. Come on. I'm praying for some more friends, Father. Some more good influences in my life. You know, I don't have much joy in my life. I need more joy. I'm lacking with joy. Well, Father God, I pray that you'll just fill me up. And then you come to church and you get to listen to Pastor Steve. That's pretty humorous, is it not? You know, you never know what you're going to get when this guy is talking. But we can use the name of Jesus to destroy lack. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. And that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Even whatever, if lack has a name, it has to go. If you're broke, bankrupt, it has to go. That's exciting when you think about it. You see, the Lord's going to bless you. The Lord's going to supply for you. Hallelujah. God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. By who? Christ Jesus. Woo! You ain't broke. You got God's bank account. And the streets that he walks on are made of gold. You talk about something, man. The gates to his garden are pearls, man. That's some big pearls. Sweet heavens. You know, streets paved with gold, pearly gates. Man, and then we're concerned about going to Tim Hortons trying to buy coffee. We got to realize who our Heavenly Father is, ladies and gentlemen. We have to tap into this name of Jesus, into this power, amen? You know? Everyone, there's this big fuss about this televangelist talking about he's going to buy a jet. You know? And I'm just over here believing God, you know, for another snow machine or a boat or something. You know? Everyone making a big fuss over a jet. You know? Pastor Roman wanted a new Honda. You know, what's the big deal? You know what? But here's the thing about this jet that he was believing God for. See, media, you got to be careful because there's going to be naysayers no matter what you're doing. There's always going to be people trying tearing you down no matter what's going on in your life. And so here he is, believing God for this jet. They're all saying, well, he's got four jets. No, he doesn't. He's got one jet right now, and that he's actually given it away to another ministry so that they can go and continue on what they're doing. And he's believing God for a new one so he can continue on to do what he's doing and be able to increase and do more things as well. It's not about the luxury and necessarily having a jet, but it's about doing ministry things. Amen? And that's what he's believing God for. You know? So you've got to be careful what people are saying, because people are going to try and knock you down. People are going to try and get you off of your faith confession. People are going to try and hinder you. But when you use the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. So no matter what the situation is, no matter what they're saying about you, no matter what's on Facebook or what's on Instagram or what's on the news, who cares? Because it only depends on what's in your heart and what's with God. That's the only thing that matters. You see, we think too much. We think about what the world is thinking about us. We think about what other people are thinking about us. You know, I fall in this trap sometime. Oh, I hope everybody likes me. You know, I want to be. But you know what? You can't please everybody, but you got to please God. And because when you're walking in the things of God in your life, that's when increase takes place. And you'd be surprised at what happens when you start getting increase in your life. Everyone's your best friend then. Install a hot tub in your house and see how many new friends you get. I'm just joking. But not really. Okay, so. You enjoying this? You know, we're supposed to be prospering in every area of our lives. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You guys enjoying this still? All right, I still got 8 people. I'm looking for 10. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." That says every spiritual blessing, because we are united with Christ. Once again, who in here is united with Christ? Every spiritual blessing belongs to you, my friend. Woo! Lack has to go. Sickness has to go. Divine healing and health is there. You're prosperous. You're blessed, man. You got it. Say, you got it. You got it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got it. Woo! Nowhere does it say we're supposed to be in lack. Nowhere does it say we're supposed to be broke. Nowhere does it say that we're supposed to be down and out. But it only talks about the blessings. Blessings, 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 and blessings. I used to sing this old hymn in the church back when I was a little boy, and I guess they probably still sing it back home. But these things, showers of blessings. Dun, dun, dun. I can't remember all the words. Kendra probably knows it. Showers of blessings. Heaven's above. Da, 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 da. Anyway, I remember as a little boy, and they'd be singing that and they, you know, in the hymn book, and they'd be 1, 2, time. I remember the song. And, you know, I was thinking as I was preparing this message, you know, that's so true, because we are supposed to be in the showers of blessings. Well, what are you, one of those blab it and grab it type people? Yep. Name it and claim it? Yeah. That's me. Because I line up with the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, I believe it. I'm actually crazy enough to believe the Word of God. And you know what? It works. It actually works. Like that gravity thing that's keeping us seated right down right now. You know, it works. Oxygen in our lungs right now, it works. Believing in the Word of God, having faith, using the name of Jesus, it works. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another time that we can use the name of Jesus. Well, we can use the name of Jesus for supernatural protection. Now, this one's really cool. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. Proverbs 18:10. All right, New Living Translation. Spice it up a little bit here. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Now that's very comforting to know. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. You see, when you're traveling or whatever you're doing, you're going to work, you're going to school, you're going wherever on a trip, hiking, whatever, you can use the name of the Lord. When we travel, you ask my wife, and some of you guys who've traveled with us, you know I do this. Before I go on a long trip, I plead the blood of Jesus, and I commission guardian angels to sit on 4 corners of my vehicle, and everybody that's traveling with me. And I tell them to keep all animals off of the road, and I tell them to make sure that the highway is clear for us. Amen? And I speak to that trip, and I say it's going to be good, and guess what? It's going to be good. There's a couple times when I forgot to do it. I'm serious. This is how real this is. There's one time I forgot to do it. And I took out a bunch of Canadians. Canadian geese, that is. Me and my wife. And I guess, who was with us? Kendra? Was my little sister with us? Kendra? When I was goose hunting that time. With the van. My grandmother was with us. Oh, yeah. And we were cruising just south of Grand Marais. And I seen a flock of birds there, and they were kind of on the side of the road. And I'm like, oh, they're in the ditch. They're not coming up. And by the time I get, I'm doing about none of your business speed limit. And, you know, they're coming up over the side of the embankment. And I'm like, oh, they're getting closer, and I'm getting closer. And all of a sudden, you ever seen a goose try to fly? Well, it's like the most awkward thing on the face of the planet. So they got to get like 10 strides in, and they got to walk 25 feet before they can even get 3 inches off the ground, right? The most odd-shaped birds. And so anyway, there was not enough distance between me and them for them to get off the ground. And so let's just say I had a very comfortable pillow after, because there was feathers everywhere. And you hear, clunk, 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 clunk. It was nasty. Praise God. It was goose stew for a month. You know, it was, and so we stopped and we looked around. And praise God, I really didn't kill any of them. I don't know how it happened, but they all just kind of went up and over, but there was feathers everywhere. I mean, it looked like I was in I don't even know what I was in. It was just feathers absolutely everywhere. But see, that was one time I clearly remember, I didn't pray before I left. And so I learned my lesson that I'm going to pray every time I go on a trip. You know, I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus. Amen? And that's a funny story, but it's true because it's real. There's different things like that. You got to be mindful is that you got to make sure that you're armed up and you're guarded. You know, you got to make sure that you got protection. Amen? Because there's a world out there is trying to damage you and trying to get you. The devil's trying to get you off your A game. And those of us that are believers, well, we're like big targets on our back for the devil. Amen? He's going to try and do whatever he possibly can do. He's going to stick a full flock of geese in front of your path to try and take you out. Amen? He's going to do something of the sort. You know? He's going to, I'm going to cloud the brains of these birds right now, and they're going to try and take this guy out. You know? No. You see, but we have to be careful. We have to arm ourselves. We have to guard ourselves. So, when we're doing whatever we're doing, we have to know that we can run to God, that He is our protection. He is our fortress. Amen? So that whatever comes at us, no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper, because we get to run into God. God protects us. He guards us. He's got an edge of protection around me and you. The scripture tells us that the devil is out to only to do these things, to kill, steal, and destroy. Nowhere does it say he's there to bless, impress, and uplift. No. You know, there's nothing there that's positive about the devil. Okay? He's there to take you out. But now the devil hates it when we use the name of Jesus. That totally messes up his day. And see, when we're using the name of Jesus in our everyday lives, well, Father God, I thank you right now that my work day is blessed. Father God, I thank you right now that my travel is blessed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I declare all these things now, and I thank you that it is done. Amen. You see, when you declare these things and you use the name of Jesus in these situations, well, that power is there. Are you listening? When we are in a time of trouble, all we got to do is cry out the name of Jesus. You know? Now, don't pull off and be Carrie Underwood and be driving down the road and take your hands off the wheel and, Jesus, take the wheel! You know, that's kind of like a 50-50 kind of crapshoot there, you know, because you're really not sure how that's going to happen. You know, it's like, you know? But sometimes you got to yell, Jesus, take the wheel. My grandma told me this story. I wasn't even born. I was actually, my grandma and my mama was on a baby appointment with me. And I was still on the inside doing 9 months. And so, some of you got that. All right. And so, they were driving back from the hospital from the baby appointment. And then this person pulled out at this intersection. And my grandmother, she was driving. And my parents, I believe they were driving, yeah, it was a Cadillac, an old Cadillac. Well, back then it was new, but now it was old. But anyway, a Cadillac. And you know, those cars, they're big, right? They're not the most maneuverable thing in the world. They're like big boats, you know? And so this guy came out of this intersection, and almost every time that I drove by this place when I was older, my grandmother would remind me, she'd tell me the story. Yes, Nan, I understand. Okay, I'm right here. You know. But so they were driving back, and this car came out, and they had a stop sign. And you know what? The guy never touched his brake. He didn't stop. And so my mom's in the passenger side with precious cargo. And so my grandmother is driving. She's like, I seen the car. She goes, I never had time to touch the brake, but it's like I felt someone put their hands on my hands and actually steered around this guy and steered clear of it. Now you got to understand something. My grandmother, my goodness, she's something else. Like she is, you talking about a Bible thumping grandma? That's her. Like I'm telling you. Like I love my grandmother to bits, and she's, you know, she pretty well raised me, and you know, she's got strong faith and she trusts in the Lord, and you know, she actually finished Bible school, correspondence Bible school through Rhema, with one eye using a magnifying glass. Like this is how determined she is, and this is the type of faith that this woman has. You know, she's had a rough go of it. She's had her struggles, but her faith in God is still as strong as ever. And she's an encouragement to me, because when I feel down, as soon as I hear her voice, she goes, Steve, she goes, I'm proud of you. I said, Nan, give it up. I want to be sad right now. She said, no, Steve. You know what? I'm proud of what you're doing. You know, and she builds me up. But you see, that day, Jesus literally took the wheel. You know, there was an edge of protection because she prayed and she believed. Back then, her faith was always going. See, it wasn't just like a once in a while type thing, but that's her lifestyle. You know, for the last 80 years, 80-something years of her life, that's just been her lifestyle, is to love Jesus and to have faith in God and to trust in Him. The stories that my granny would tell me about back in the day when there was nothing, and they would trust God, my great-grandfather, her dad, would go and pray, put himself in the room, and my granny would go and pray, put herself in the room, and they would pray, and they wouldn't stop until they got their answer from God. You know, that fervency and that will to hear from God. You know, we need to get rid of the email and get some more email going on. You know? The protection of God, it belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. The destruction of lack belongs to us. But we have to do something also. We have to act on the word of God. That means use the name of Jesus. Worship team, if you want to come back, guys. You know, it's exciting when you think about that God is looking after us. That a lot of times we stress out and we think about things and we build ourselves up. You know, we get ourselves, work ourselves into a frenzy for no reason. Because we stress about stuff that we have no right stressing about. We worry about things that we have no right to worry about. Because God is looking after us. Scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It also says, you cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. Some of you in this place today, you need to get on track with God. Some of you need to get this rekindled, got to get this going. There's power in the name of Jesus. And you see, you need to make that real in your life. You can stand to your feet. There is power in the name of Jesus. Some of you need to start activating that power in your lives. It doesn't matter what happened today. It doesn't matter what happened this week, this month, this year. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the doctors say or what the bank is saying. What does the Word of God say? And if you got that situation, you use that name. That mighty name of Jesus. Because that's the only thing that's going to get you out of it. You can try and scrape and dig and cry and bawl and run and shout and dance your way out of a situation, but it's not going to work. I've tried it. Because then someone will come along, and when you think you've hit rock bottom, they'll toss your shovel and say, keep digging. But Jesus will come along, and depending on the situation, He'll come down and start digging with you, or He's going to pull you up. Sometimes you need to dig a little bit to get rid of all the garbage. But God will pick you up. He'll protect you. No matter what the situation, He's with you. No matter what's going on in your life, He's with you. No matter how you feel, He's with you. When you think you're alone, nah, you're not alone. He's with you. When you think you're sick and you're sad and you're dying, all those things, God's still with you. God will never leave us nor forsake us. But He wants us to have a rich life. a prosperous life. And it's all up to us. Scripture says we were given every spiritual blessing. It all belongs to us, the tools we have. The name of Jesus covers a multitude of things and is made available to me and you. And the only way that it's made available is through the relationship with the Father. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is protection in the name of Jesus. There is victory in the name of Jesus. There is abundance in the name of Jesus. There is blessings in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. And every one of those things belong to me and you, my friend. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're in this place tonight, and you need to make this a reality in your life, I mean, you really seriously need to get back on track with God. You need to make Jesus alive in you again. You may have made some choices that's kind of, eh. Tonight's a good night to get back on track. Because remember what I talked about earlier this evening? I talked about action, reaction. You see, if we want these things that God has for us, our lives has to be a reflection of Him. We have to have that connection with the Father. We have to be tight with God. We tight. You got to be tight with God. You got to be tight. You got to be tight. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're in this place and you need to get back on track with God, things might have happened, but you need God back in your life. I don't care who you are. This is not a time to be shy, but this is very important for you right now. God is speaking to the hearts of people right now. The Holy Spirit's ministering to people right now and saying, yeah, where you been, buddy? I've missed you. You know, where you been, miss? It's time that me and you get back together. We get this relationship going again. I got big plans and big purposes for you. Now, if that's you and you're in this place, and you need to get back on track with the God, I want you to make that bold faith confession right now. I want you to step out. I want you to, faith without action is dead. You got to do something, action. I want you to step out and come to this altar right now if you need to get back on track with God. If that's you, you've made some mistakes, you've made some problems, you got some things going on. If that's you, I want you to come on up here. Come on up. Come on. Don't be shy. You're getting back on track with God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Now there's power in the name of Jesus. And that in that name of Jesus, sickness has to go. Addictions has to go. There has to be healings take place. Has to be all those things has to happen in the name of Jesus. Now, we got people up here that are getting ready to rededicate their hearts to Jesus. Now, if you're in this place right now and you need to be set free, if you're sick, you got an ailment in your body, or you got something that needs to go, there's power in the name of Jesus, and it's flowing in this place right now. I can feel that anointing. I can feel that power flowing right now. If that's you, I want you to make your way up here as well right now. Don't miss this opportunity. Get up here. If there's something going on in your body right now, don't be too afraid. Don't be too shy. You get up here, line up, move. Ushers, move them up ahead here. Move them all in. Come on. If you need healing in your body for whatever it is, the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered, wherever two or three are gathered and they agree in my name, it will be done. If you're in this place, come on. We're not done yet. No one looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're in this place, you need that healing power in your body right now. Come on, get up here. I'm not going to move on right yet. I haven't got the release to move on right yet. We're going to wait a few more seconds. Come on. You might have to be delivered for something. You might be struggling with something. It might be a struggle in your life. I don't know. There's something that you need to let go. It might be anger. It might be disappointment. It might be hurt. It might be depression. I don't know what it is. But right now, it needs to go. It needs to be broke. It needs to go right now. Come on. Anybody else? We're not going to embarrass nobody, but we're going to get some serious time with God in this place tonight.